Technical terms, I'm what's called a pessimist.
The show that the city needs.
This town deserves a better class of sports radio. And we're going to give it to them.
This is Talk Sports with John Reed and Cody McClure.
Leave one wolf alive and the sheep are never safe.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run Studios. John Reed, Cody McClure, Cam Black. For the next 3 hours, we'll talk sports and other things. How are we today? Oh, two thumbs up from Cam. Good to see. Nice to have you back, Cameron. Cody, how are you, my friend?
Doing all right. It's good to be here. Good to be anywhere. How are you?
Okay. Allergies kicked up a little bit just a little bit ago.
Yeah, it seems like everybody's mowing today, too. I don't know why, but everybody seems to be mowing.
Everyone's mowing today?
Everyone I've seen has been mowing. I've not met anyone today who wasn't mowing.
I haven't mowed today.
Well, I guess you're the first guy. I haven't.
Cam, I don't think, is mowing today.
You're actually the first two guys I've talked to today, but everyone else I have seen today was mowing.
Okay. You just close your eyes when you walked in past Brandon, Rick, and Charlie.
Who?
Brandon, Rick, and Charlie.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay.
Never heard of them. But, I had my window open, though, this morning, and I did notice that the guys outside were doing the landscaping. And yeah. I started sneezing in my apartment just watching them out there.
It's tough.
Yeah. So I know what you mean with the allergies.
Okay. We got the Premier League back, so that's cool.
Right.
The Premier League's coming back. That's a big sporting event.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess it is.
We got something better? Like, what do you got? What are you doing? You playing defense to start the show? Like,
I don't have anything better. I mean, I guess if that's the sport we're going to get, it's the sport we're going to get.
We're getting other stuff eventually, but people care about the Premier League, and
I didn't say they didn't.
It's a sport that matters. It's a league that matters. It's just the biggest one that's saying right now, hey, we're going to be back by June 17th.
Yeah. Yeah. See, it's
whereas our American sports are saying July, we're going to get something on the weekends in June, and every now and then on a Monday, we'll have some soccer. Sports coming back. That's a good thing. Well, if you don't think that's the story of the day, what's the story of the day?
I didn't say it wasn't the story of the day.
Hey, you're acting like you don't care about it, so what's the story of the day?
Well, I mean, I don't care about it.
Okay, well, what's the story you care about?
That doesn't mean it's not the big story, just because
I don't care about it right now.
Well, what I care about is not going to be the story of the day.
What do you care about? You tell me what you care about.
Well, I mean, it's not the story of the day. I never disagreed with you. The story is the Premier League returning. I see it. It's breaking news. It's the biggest story. What I care about doesn't have to be the story of the day.
Well, what do you care about right now?
What's
the biggest thing in your life right now? What's the story? What's Cody McClure's story? Not of the day, what's your current story?
I don't want to make it about me.
Is it Jeremy Pruitt's birthday? Is that what you care
about? No. Is he?
Today's Jeremy Pruitt's birthday?
What is he, 52, 51?
47, I believe.
47?
Is that right, or 46? 46.
Oh, he's 5 years off, 6 years off?
Yeah, because remember they had that list of best coaches under the age of 45, and he didn't get put on it. And then I was like, wait a second, seriously? And they're like, well, it's not under 45, so now he's 46.
Yeah.
Is that what you care about?
No, I mean, I like
Big Germ's birthday?
No.
Do you want to sing him? Or
let's not talk,
sing, but just tell him happy birthday?
I don't know if we want to go. Like many other people, I've been following the big national news over the last couple days. It's not really, you know, pertaining to the sports world.
Talking about what's going on in Minnesota?
What
do you want to talk about with that?
Well, I'm not saying I want to talk about it. I'm just saying I've been following. That's what I've been interested in, though, in the last couple of days.
Okay. Well, give me your take on it.
I don't really have a take on it. It's just...
Well, you've been following it. Tell me what's on your mind.
I didn't want to start the show with it. It's...
Well, you just brought it up. It's the start of the show.
Well, you asked me what's on my mind.
I'm okay with talking about it. Let's talk.
That's not a good way to start the show.
Well, this hasn't been a good way to start the show either.
Well, what do you want to talk about? You want to talk about the Premier League?
Well, not now.
I wasn't trying to shoot down the Premier League.
We could talk about Jerry Pruitt's birthday.
Okay.
Would you like to wish him happy birthday?
No. No. He didn't tell me happy birthday, so I doubt I'm going to tell him happy birthday.
Okay. That's a fair take.
If he had set, you know, if he had told me happy birthday first, he would have had to have set the precedent.
Right. We've talked about that
before. Because mine was in April, right?
Right. We have talked about that before.
So he would have had to have told me happy birthday in order for me to have reciprocated today. And he did not, so I will not be telling him happy birthday.
Okay.
We could find who he shares birthdays with. Perhaps we could see if there are similarities between him and other people. You know how, I don't know if you're familiar with horoscopes.
Yeah, I'm sort of familiar with horoscopes.
Many people are a similar kind of, let's just look, for example, Michael Orr. It's also his birthday today.
Today's Michael Orr's birthday.
It is, yes. He's 33 today. It's also Kylie Minogue.
Who?
Kylie Minogue, the Australian singer-songwriter. It's her birthday, his birthday, her birthday. Rudy Giuliani.
I'm fine with going to talk about Michael Orr.
I mean, do we see a lot of similarities between him and Jeremy Pruitt?
I mean, I don't know. Michael Orr, he's in the news right now. He's talking about how, you know, like last week he wishes the Blind Side never would have happened.
He said that?
Yeah, which, I mean, Jeremy Pruitt probably wishes Georgia State and BYU never happened, so they got some type of ties there. They have regrets in life.
Both involved in the game of football.
Right.
Yeah. Both had interactions with Philip Fulmer.
Yep. There's some similarities there between those two.
Both had a relationship with an overbearing white woman, probably.
That's speculatory. I'm not going to say whether or not that's true.
I mean, probably.
Okay.
I'm just wondering, like, the people who have birthdays today and Jeremy Pruitt, do they have anything in common? Okay. Rudy Giuliani. What about Rudy Giuliani?
Rudy, I mean...
guided his city through 9/11. Jeremy Pruitt guided his team to a bowl bid, a bowl win over Indiana.
Does Rudy Giuliani have a positive name value
right
now?
Not anymore. I don't.
Well, I mean, I know like with liberals they don't, but I'm just saying like do the Republicans like him now? Like, I mean, is he at least liked by half the people, or is it just kind of all around like we don't really care too much about Giuliani?
I feel like he became he kind of went from being more respected to being just kind of a shill for Trump.
Okay,
just kind
of. So then the Republicans probably do like him.
One of his homeboys.
So you don't like him?
Not necessarily. I'm just saying that I think more people used to like him. What I would guess.
So what are we?
His star was brighter during 9/11.
Yeah. So what are the ties here with Jeremy Pruitt and his birthday?
Don't know. Seth Rollins' birthday today too. The wrestler. Any similarities?
The Monday Night Messiah. I mean, he's trying.
Both have been in the gas station on Cumberland Avenue.
That, yep.
Because I saw Seth Rollins there, and I would assume Jeremy Pruitt's been in.
You know, again, we don't know for sure, but I think that's a little bit more fair assumption than Jeremy Pruitt dealing with a crazy white woman.
I'm not even saying his current wife. That's not what I'm saying.
Oh, I know. I didn't take it as that.
I'm just assuming he has dealt with an overbearing white woman.
It's likely. I would say it's more likely he's been in the gas station on Cumberland Avenue, though.
Than having dealt with an overbearing white woman?
Yeah.
Growing up in the South, haven't we all dealt with an overbearing white woman?
Living in Knoxville for 2.5 years.
He was in Alabama his whole life, though.
No, I know, but I'm just saying, like, it's one gas station near where he works. I would imagine he's been in there.
Right. I assume he has, too. I'm just,
yeah.
I don't think that would be more likely than him having dealt with an overbearing white woman in his life.
Maybe, maybe not, I guess.
I'm talking growing up in the South. You know who I'm talking about. The Sandra Bullock type, you know the type.
You mean like, when you say dealt with, you mean just like encountered, like dated? I was his mother, and I don't know his mother, so I'm not going to say that about his mother.
Could be a wife, a mother, an aunt.
I don't know if Jeremy Pruitt would deal with that? Do you think he'd hang around an overbearing woman?
I don't think he
I don't,
would.
I don't think he would.
But he's had to deal with one.
Okay.
There's maybe. No doubt about it to me.
Okay.
I mean, haven't you? Haven't I? Haven't we all?
An overbearing white woman?
It could be mother, stepmother, aunt, grandmother, sister.
So just had some type of encounter with?
Some sort of overbearing white woman.
Okay.
I'm not trying to say a negative about Jeremy Pruitt's family. I'm saying we've all had to deal with these
women. Okay.
You know, I mean, the Karen. Of, I mean, you know, it's how they came about.
Fair enough.
They've grown into a superpower. There's a gaggle of Karens that's just, I think, causing real problems in this country. A
little bit of breaking news, Cam.
Woo, 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 woo!
The Lady Vols will play West Virginia this year in the SEC Big 12 Challenge. We continue our West Virginia rivalry.
In the what challenge?
The SEC Big 12 Challenge.
All right.
In women's basketball. We continue our rivalry with West Virginia. We've played them in basketball and football and now women's basketball.
All right. We must have Philip Fulmer must have some sort of relationship with the AD there.
Maybe. Although I don't know if he would have been the one scheduling those.
The football game, no.
Somebody in the front office, there's some type of dialogue there. They got each other's numbers at least.
I met somebody from West Virginia the other day.
Although I don't think they're the ones who – do the ADs put together those challenges? I thought the conferences did. Or no, is that wrong? I've always assumed the conferences did and try to create like the even matchups, right? Like
they probably do, yeah.
Because both of them are showcasing their schools. So I would imagine that's kind of a above the schools. Like you don't let the schools go out and find their own opponents because everyone would want – maybe the same people.
Yeah.
But Tennessee playing West Virginia in women's basketball. So there you go. Sports. More sports news.
That's good.
If the Premier League didn't do it for you, there's some women's basketball for you. And I know you're a big Lady Vols fan, so I hope that got your juices flowing a little bit. What's West Virginia's basketball program like?
Their women's basketball program? Oh, it's, you know, mid-tier.
Okay.
It's a mid-tier program.
Okay, well, we're off in, wouldn't necessarily say running. We are off.
We're off on a brisk walk.
We are off limping around a little bit, but we will.
We're on a brisk walk by now.
It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
You know Jets people.
All right, so we got some sports news we gave you. The Premier League is back and running. It's Jeremy Pruitt's birthday, and baseball fans maybe need to be gearing up for no 2020 season after the salary negotiations have taken a weird turn. It was always going to be kind of contentious because the Baseball Players Union has a pretty strong resolve. Like, they are the most powerful union in sports. Just look no further than the fact that baseball has been able to continue with no salary cap. Right? The players can make as much as they want. Doesn't work that way in other sports, really. The baseball owners wanted to pay the stars, the most marketable, the best players in the league, the ones who are responsible for kind of carrying the league. They wanted to give them the biggest FU in negotiations. Like Mike Trout, who was supposed to make like basically $37 million, was going to have to play 81 games for, you know, $7.5 million. A pretty significant pay cut. Yesterday, you had one of those said stars who make a lot of money. You had Max Scherzer. I would say your boy, Cody, but not your boy. The guy who beat your boy.
Yeah, he's not my boy.
After discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with Major League Baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear the players voicing the same viewpoint and believe Major League Baseball's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become available to the public. This is interesting to me because you have the middle class and the lower class sticking together with the stars. That's not what happened in the NFL negotiations. Do you remember the NFL negotiations from a couple months ago when they were trying to get their new CBA done? And you had like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and those guys being like, hey, don't sign this new CBA. This is bad. But you had the middle class and the lower class who the new CBA was benefiting being like, nah, sorry, superstars. You guys make enough money. Hate it for you. We need this extra game check. We need these extra benefits. We're good. We are ratifying this. We're going to play. The NFL was able to turn the middle and the lower class against the elite. Baseball was trying to do the same thing, but you have seen a pretty uniformed stance from baseball. They're like, no, we're not playing for like 30% of our salaries. That's not happening.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I wouldn't either.
So now the, you know, it's a negotiation.
I think we'll probably just not have the season, which is disappointing. But I understand it.
Yeah, it's tough for you as your first season as a baseball fan. You're going to miss out.
It's not my first season.
I would say it's your first season starting the season.
I mean, you've said before
that you were going to keep up with baseball for the first time this year, like all year, and that you're looking forward to it. Like before you were just a playoffs fan or like a I'll be a fan when I go to the games and then we'll kind of keep up with them until the playoffs. But you had said you were going to keep up with the entire baseball season for the first time. Like, those are your words. There's no reason to deny them. I'm not.
I was more excited than ever before.
However you need to placate it, however you need to say it, whatever, that's fine.
I've always enjoyed watching summer baseball.
Sure.
When there's nothing else on.
Well, the season doesn't start in the summer. That's the thing.
I know. I'm aware. Spring training's in February.
Placate was not the right word to use there. But, yeah, the summer.
Maybe stay in on your reading level.
Yeah.
Your vocabulary level.
Yeah, it's tough to have to try to find words while also trying to argue with you and just deal with your defense. It's a little tough.
My defense?
Yeah, it's a little tough.
What is my defense?
Placate. First 20 minutes of the show.
To make someone less angry or hostile. That's what I should be trying to do to you.
No, that's what I'm doing to you. I'm placating you.
I'm not angry or hostile.
Very passive-aggressively.
No, not really.
How did I use placate just then? What was the sentence I used it in?
You said...
did I say they were trying to placate them? Because that would be correct, right?
You were trying to... I don't remember what you said.
I don't know either. I know what placate means, but I didn't feel like I used it right in the right way there.
To make someone less angry or hostile?
Yeah, just cater to them, basically, to try to calm them down.
Did
I use it talking about the players, or did I use it talking about something else?
I think you were talking about something with
talking about
me.
You? Yeah. However you need to placate it. Yeah, that's what I said. That wasn't.
You were saying, however, I need to placate it. Yeah. My.
I was talking about you trying to spin your argument semantically. You focus on semantics. I don't know why I said placate.
However, justify may have been the word you were looking for.
Yeah, whenever I said it, I knew it wasn't right. That's why I had said that was the incorrect version, the incorrect usage.
Yeah, because there would be no need to placate me.
Right.
Because I'm not an angry or hostile
person. Well, you wouldn't be
person.
Trying to placate. You were just trying to get upset, although you were getting upset, but I would be...
I wasn't upset at all.
Well, you were, like, fighting back against the phrase, against the accusation that this would be your first season as a baseball fan, which you have previously said yourself.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
Not in those terms.
Yeah, no, you have. We're just two years removed from you making fun of baseball fans whenever we would talk about baseball. You'd be like, no one wants to hear baseball in the air, bro. Baseball sucks.
Not in those terms.
We're 2 years removed away from that. So, like, I don't know what we're trying to – why we're trying to act like you are
again,
a lifelong baseball fan. It's okay that you're new to the table.
We're not trying to.
It's okay that you're new to the table. You have a seat. The people are happy to give you a seat at the table.
I just don't know why you want to make my fandom seem – irrelevant.
I was making it very relevant. I was getting ready to ask you a question as someone who had just got into the sport as a full-time baseball fan. I was going
to
ask what a lockout would do to you.
It just
because in 1994,
like you like to do.
When you had a lockout, it hurt the fan support. And baseball has been trying really hard to get back a lot of those fans over the last, you know, 20 years. They had the steroid race. They had the home run chase fueled by steroids. And they were like, you know what? That's okay. And a lot of people think that the commissioner looked the other way because, hey, people are watching baseball and people care about baseball again.
Yeah.
That was in part to try to undo some of the wrongs from a strike season, a lockout season. So I was going to ask you, as someone who is a baseball fan, what it would do to you in your new fandom if all of a sudden, when you're ready to go to watch a full season, that there is just no season to watch.
Well, it's hurt a lot. You know, the coronavirus has really impacted the whole thing.
I mean, you're going to be in L.A. 2 weeks from now.
And I'm not going to be able to watch a Dodger
game. And you're not going to be able to eat a Dodger dog. Which maybe you'll be able to go and get a Dodger dog. Maybe they'll let you in the... maybe you can go pick one up at the concession stand.
Not me. Not me. They won't let me in.
They should still sell some Dodger dogs. I mean, I know movie theaters are sending popcorns, you know?
Yeah. You know what's significant about the Dodger dog is the wiener is so long. That's what makes it a Dodger dog. Way too long for the bun, but they're made that way.
Yeah.
That's how it's supposed to be. So you're just eating wiener up until you get to the bun. And then you eat the bun, and then you get some wiener left over. But yeah, I probably won't get a Dodger dog. That is disappointing to me. I was looking forward to maybe seeing a Dodgers game. That's not going to happen. Simply just not going to happen.
So what would this do for you?
So I'm affected.
I'm not asking if you're affected. I know you're affected. I'm asking what are you somebody who's going to turn on baseball if they don't give you a season this year?
I won't turn on baseball because I don't blame the players.
Well, it's not just the players. There's the owners too. I mean,
they'd get it going though if the players, like the players, could agree to it and they could get it going. But I put the blame on the owners.
Sure,
I'm not putting any blame on the players. There's no need for them to play for 30% of their salary.
Well, you know who really benefits when you watch baseball, right?
The fans.
No, when you watch baseball, the fans.
When I watch baseball,
yeah, the fans don't benefit from you watching.
Well, the owners and the players.
The
both.
Owners. So if you're out against the owners, that's what I'm asking. I am out against the owners. Well, I know. Are you going to still support their product that helps make them filthy rich?
Well, as long as the players are being paid adequately as well. Yeah.
Okay, so you don't have that big of a problem with the owners being greedy jerks. You're just
standing with the players. Is it not the same thing as like we were talking about yesterday, buying Coca-Cola? I don't like what these big corporations stand for, but sometimes it's the only option we have. You know.
It's not the only option. You can watch other sports.
There's no mom and pop soda. We talked about that.
There's independent baseball.
What? But not baseball you want to watch.
I'm just saying they have other options.
You want to watch the pros, though.
There are other sports. There's college baseball.
There's people benefiting, making money off that, too. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but not ones that took a whole season away from you out of greed.
Well, the fact that there's always going to be people profiting off of things and making money off of it doesn't mean you... I mean, you can't just take a stand against everything, you know?
I wasn't asking you to take a stand against everything. I was just saying,
I just want
if you're out on the owners and mad at the owners, I was going to ask if it had an effect on how you would watch baseball moving forward.
If the players were making their full typical salaries, I'd still be watching the game.
Okay.
Yeah. But I'm not. If they were to try to trot out some minor leaguers or something, I'm not going to watch that.
Yeah, I don't think they'll do that.
Wouldn't think so. But, yeah, I mean, nobody's going to watch that, you know? Nobody wants to see that.
I mean, I know some people think the brand name is big enough, and the brand name is all that matters. Like, could you get away with that in college football? To a degree, yeah. But like, I mean, if college football was just devoid of talent, and you know, we have a reality, Cody, where all the 5 and 4 stars are gone, and everyone's just 3 stars or lower playing football. And it was a step up from high school football, but not much of one. Would that impact people's interest in the sport?
I think college sports, there's such a tie to the universities, like with all the alma mater, the alumni and everything.
I think it's a little bit deeper, but I will say that some people have real big connections to their professional teams, too. Like, not so much here. Like, you know. Can't be that connected to the Preds or Titans or Grizzlies. Like, I mean, they're still pretty relatively new, but.
People in cities, like, you grow up in Philadelphia.
Yeah, Cubs fans, Eagles fans, Red Sox fans, like, they have similar feelings towards their professional teams that a lot of people in the South do to their college teams.
Well, I mean, like if we just suddenly started saying, hey, if you weigh over 220 pounds, you can't play football. It's too much of a health risk. We're only people below 220 pounds. We're going to go back to the 60s, go back to the old days when there were no huge guys.
Right.
You know, it would make the product less enjoyable, but you'd still watch it. I mean, or I would. I would still watch it.
You would?
Yeah.
But not baseball if they brought up the AAA players or the AA players?
I mean, I'd probably watch if it was the only thing on. But see, that's different, though, because in the pros, you're expected it to be pros. If you're watching the pros, you should be watching the best of the best.
So you're going to watch or no? Because you said you just said you would.
If it's on the TV. I mean, if the Dodgers are playing and it's on the TV and it's, you know, there's nothing else. I mean, I might, you know, I'm grilling some burgers or something. I might catch it. I might flip it on.
Okay. Like, I don't think that's a viable option in terms of just bringing in the scabs. I don't think that would be something that would fly.
Yeah, and you're supposed to be watching the pros. At least in college, if all of a sudden the players weren't as good in college, at least you knew from the start you were watching amateurs anyway.
I mean, pros. I think a big part of the appeal of Tennessee is that we are watching close to the pros. Right? I mean, is that not the big appeal of SEC football, is that it's close to the pros?
That should be their new tagline instead of it just means more. It's close to the pros.
I mean, it kind of unofficially
is. Southeastern Conference.
I mean, when you watch the NFL draft and, you know, 40, 45% of the first three-round picks are from the SEC, it kind of is.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of the appeal.
I mean, every year I feel like the over-under in terms of SEC draft picks in the first round is like 14, 15 and a half. Like, you're getting basically half of the entire first round.
It's part of the appeal. Sure.
So if all of a sudden we're playing Maction-level football, like, you don't think that would hurt the SEC? Do you think they could overcome that if, like, all of a sudden it wasn't the premier conference and the players just weren't very good?
Well, you would start to see, I mean, if the SEC just became not very good, or is it all around college football? Because you would start to see at some point the SEC dwindling, like the good players not going there anymore. Like, the SEC just becomes like the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would obviously hurt it, yeah. But if it was all around college football, like for some reason, I don't know the scenario you're talking about, but like if the NFL all of a sudden had a, you can come straight to the NFL out of high school rule. Not that that would ever work, but just sure. Theoretically. Or the NFL had some kind of a G League, you know, some kind of a minor league system.
Yeah. The XFL.
Yeah, I guess you could say the XFL.
Because you didn't watch it.
It would be disappointing to me if the really good football players started going to the XFL, though.
Well, I mean, the XFL is not going to. I mean, it's. I don't want to say it's dead because there were some reports that through their bankruptcy, it might lead to Vince McMahon just trying to buy it again for cheaper. I don't understand exactly how that works. I'm not a bankruptcy lawyer.
Well, that's why he's a billionaire, I guess.
But that he was. There was talks about him trying to rebuy the league out of bankruptcy, and then get the season back up and running this upcoming year. Now that the COVID stuff maybe looks a little less aggressive, right? Not this year, I guess, but, you know, 2021, not miss a season.
Hopefully by 2021, XFL schedule time will be back to normal. And there will be, we'll be away from this new normal.
I don't think we're going to be back normal on a sports calendar by 2021. I think that'll be 2022. Just because.
Oh.
But I mean, just regardless, like the NBA, for example, right, is going to try to play their end of their season, then start at Christmas, right? So just whether or not they make that their new normal, that could be seen, but like they're going to be playing from December through the summer, which is something they don't normally do.
Yeah, maybe the calendar's not back right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, I hope this time next year, surely we will at least have fans in the stands at all the sports, and it'll be normal looking.
Okay.
I would hope.
Okay. No, I mean, surely to God we'll have fans in the stands within a year. Hope. Like, I think there are people who still feel pretty confident that we're going to have fans in the stands this fall. Like,
yeah,
the report, which I don't know how founded it was, but, you know, blue check, whatever. I saw it go across the timeline saying the NFL, I think this was like a conservative reporter, like a political reporter, but he had said that the NFL was preparing as if they were going to have fans in the stands in the fall.
Well, a Dolphins owner said that.
Okay.
Did you I saw that a day or two ago.
Did he say full capacity, though? I didn't think he said full capacity.
I don't know what capacity he said, but I just saw where the Dolphins owner said he believed there would be fans in the stands.
Okay.
Maybe not in his stands, but, you know, the typical NFL teams, fans in the stands.
Yeah. I mean, I guess the NFL's EVP of football operations is optimistic that everything's going to go smoothly and that there will be fans in the stands.
Is that executive vice president?
Probably.
Is the word executive necessary, you know, in terms of could it not just be vice president? They're vice president of, what did you say, football operations?
Yeah.
What does the word executive matter?
I don't know.
I've always wondered that.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is the executive vice president more important than the vice president, than the regular vice president? Seems to me like just some fancy word they threw on there.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
Your pet is an important part of...
Dragstar. You see this stuff coming out about an SEC program and a five-star quarterback? You see this, what's going on right now? Reports coming down?
No.
The pipe?
No.
Well, our friend JT Daniels, you familiar with him? You remember JT Daniels, our friend?
Is that the reporter guy we bring on?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
JT Daniels, the guy we bring on.
The guy from 247 that comes on?
What?
Yeah.
Are you talking about?
Reporter friend?
We have one reporter friend. That's Jesse. That's it.
Oh, Jesse. That's who I was thinking of. Jesse Simonton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he works for Rivals, not 247.
Yeah. It was a little bit of a joke.
Well, do you remember JT Daniels or no?
The quarterback from USC. Yes.
You Googled it. I saw you typing over there.
I did not Google it. If you want to know, I Googled down the pike is what I Googled because you said down the pike earlier, and I was thinking, where did that originate? And that's what was.
I said down the pike?
I think so, didn't you? Or down the pipe?
I think
I said down the pipe.
I don't think I've ever said down the pike. Down the pipe is a phrase, right?
Well, I don't know, but you said that phrase. You're talking about JT Daniels, and that's what triggered it to me, because a lot of times we'll say phrases, and we're always curious, where did that originate? And so, but I knew who you were talking about.
I'd imagine down the pipe originated from putting something down the pipe. Like, hey, here it comes, down the pipe. One seems a little self-explanatory.
Well, it says both forms are widely used and understood.
Because down the pike is a road, right?
Right, yeah.
Coming down the pike. Okay.
There she comes, down the pike.
Yeah.
Or down the pipe.
I haven't talked. Do people still call roads pikes? Like, what makes...
Oh, we got pikes everywhere here.
Right. That, as, like, the name of the street, though, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, so-and-so circle, so-and-so pike, that.
But you wouldn't go stand at the, you know...
If I saw somebody walking down the road, I would not say, here they come down the pike.
Yeah.
And if I live on a road called Circle, I don't say, oh, here they come down the circle. I just say down the road.
You always say down the street.
I say road.
Road?
Yeah.
There's a car going down the road. Like, if we walked out of the station right here and saw a guy coming around the bend there and going down...
I would say he's driving down the road.
I think I would say he's coming around the bend, because we got a curve there.
I would say street every now and then, I guess, maybe. Like, I would say street. I wouldn't think that was weird, but it's just always been road to me. Because I grew up in the country, and, like, you know, there's
country,
no streets.
Country, it's a road.
Yeah, it's just roads.
There was a song about it, Country Roads.
Right.
It's not country streets.
Yeah.
That wouldn't have gone as well.
Which I...
Country streets... Take me.
Where do you stand on the argument there that that's not about West Virginia?
What is it about?
The state. It's about Western Virginia.
Oh, I don't know. Where are the Blue Ridge Mountains?
I think people say they're...
They're in Western Virginia?
I think that's what people say.
West Virginia, mountain mama. Really?
I've seen many people make this claim.
Well, it used to be one state anyway.
Would that have been West Virginia at that point then, though?
It would have been the western part of Virginia. It's always been the western part of Virginia. In fact, I think people from West Virginia...
I mean, wouldn't the west part of Virginia then go to be West Virginia, is what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was always... It used to just be Virginia.
Yeah, but I mean, this was...
The song was written after that.
Yeah, hundreds of years ago.
But the song could have been written before... it could have been written about those old times.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe. I mean, I don't know the... You'd have to ask John Denver. And good luck getting to him.
I assume he's dead.
Yeah. Yeah, John did a plane crash.
Yeah. Kind of ironic.
Why is that?
Didn't he crash into the mountains?
Did he?
Did he not?
Yeah, he might have. Plane crash, well, fine. I don't know.
Maybe he didn't crash in the mountains, but I remember from Final Destination, I just remember them talking about it. They were listening to, maybe that was the irony of it. Maybe I confused it. Maybe it wasn't the mountains, but they're in the bathroom.
No, he crashed in a Monterey Bay.
Okay, that's not the mountains, huh?
No, it's the opposite of the mountains. It's the ocean.
Maybe it was just they were playing Rocky Mountain High in the bathroom, and he was like, oh, so we're listening to a song by a guy who died in a plane crash right before he got on the plane.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, plane crashes there, too.
Yeah, more like Rocky Mountain Low.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess.
Official cause of death was multiple blunt force trauma resulting from the crash. I'm sure that was uncomfortable.
So five-star quarterback JT Daniels, not to be confused with 247/Rivals writer Jesse Simonton. He's in the news, and it looks like he might be headed to the SEC after all. Not to Tennessee, but to
Georgia.
Georgia.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Georgia.
That was just a guess.
No, Georgia is the correct answer.
Oh, I thought Jamie Newman was the Heisman frontrunner.
Well, it appears that they might bring in JT Daniels instead.
Oh.
Now, there is the possibility that JT Daniels would come in and then not get eligible and sit, and then maybe could be the quarterback after Jamie Newman. But either way, it appears that JT Daniels to Georgia, there is something there in terms of them kicking the tires on him. And if he's healthy and he gets cleared, I would imagine he would be the starting quarterback. He's better than Jamie Newman. Which, on one hand, would just be kind of perfectly Georgia, right? Just creating a quarterback controversy and then doing this. They might actually make the right decision in this situation, which they haven't in the years prior. I mean, I don't know if Jacob Eason would have had more or less success than Jake Fromm did. I don't know. What do you think? Did they make the right decision with Eason versus Fromm in terms of who's just the better quarterback?
I think either one of them would have worked out about the same.
Okay.
They had such a good team around them.
Well, I know Eason went higher in the NFL draft.
Yeah. I mean, really what you would – ideally, Justin Fields might have taken him that next step to a national championship.
Right. I mean, I do think there is something to that. Like, they weren't willing to pull the trigger on Justin Fields, and they lost him to Jake Fromm. And, you know, I'm a little weary about mock drafts a year out because if you look last year, Jake Fromm was in the first round. Some people had him as the first quarterback, you know, a top five pick taken, and we know he ended up, what, in the fifth round?
Yeah.
So I'm a little wary about that, but Justin Fields is slated to be a top five pick this year, upcoming year. So, yeah, keeping the fifth rounder over the first rounder, not a very good thing, right?
Yeah, they probably would have been. I mean, I don't know if
he raises the ceiling on them. I mean, he makes them more explosive. Like, that's always been the problem, right, with Georgia? I mean, at least under Kirby Smart, it's just the quarterback wasn't dynamic enough.
Yeah, but I also wonder if even if, like, Justin Fields had been the guy, would they have used him as well as Ohio State does? Probably not.
No, not under Coley.
So, like, his talent.
Like, last year with James Coley, they wouldn't have I doubt they would have used him properly. Now, if he gets the reins as a freshman, could Chaney have used him a little better? Maybe. Although I still don't know. Like, Ohio State used him really properly. You know what I mean? Like, Ohio State turned him into a stud. But he was a five-star quarterback that was thought to be a monster coming out of high school, so.
Maybe Chaney never comes to Tennessee if he has Justin Fields as a weapon he can use as maybe a potential Heisman winner.
Well, I feel like he had it. He had the option.
National championship quarterback.
So he'd be a little worried about Chaney not using him? Or is that over Chaney's? Is it over Chaney's decision making? Like,
do we put it on? That's the thing. Do you put it on Chaney?
I don't know. That's what I'm asking. I assume the offensive coordinator doesn't get final say over who he wants starting. Like, ultimately, that's the head coach's decision, right? And Kirby Smart is from the old Nick Saban playbook, and I think maybe kind of the Jeremy Pruitt playbook of let's let our quarterbacks be vanilla. Let's let them make certain throws, and let's try to win this with our defense, right? I mean, Georgia was a version of early Alabama last year. They have been kind of the last 2 years. You know what I mean? Like, we're going to play good defense. We're going to run the ball. Our quarterback's going to be very limited. But hopefully he's going to move the chains and we can score. Now, last year they didn't have any receivers and they couldn't, you know, move the ball against good teams. But still.
Yeah, they were A.J. McCarron, Greg McElroy.
Right.
John Parker Wilson.
Right. And that's kind of what Georgia was last year. That was their impression last year.
Yeah. Jake Fromm was basically one of those guys.
Which is kind of crazy when you realize they had a first-round pick on their roster. And that Justin Fields could have raised. Like, I mean, it was...
Justin Fields will probably win the Heisman this year.
And, I mean, to an extent, that is one of the biggest differences in what separates, you know, Kirby Smart from the elite, in my mind.
Yeah.
Because, like, I mean, you look... I mean, you look at both the top two coaches in the country. And they are...
Dabo and Nick Saban.
Both of those guys were willing to put quarterbacks that were a little bit limited on the bench for guys who gave them a higher ceiling. Dabo and did that with Kelly Bryant and said, here, Trevor Lawrence, go win us some games. And, you know, Trevor Lawrence went and won them a national championship. And Nick Saban was willing to say, look, Jalen, you've been good, but Tua just makes us more explosive. You haven't really done anything to lose the job. You didn't play very good, you know, against Georgia that one game, but... We are going to make the switch here. We're going to be willing to do that. Whereas Kirby Smart was like, you know what, Jake Fromm, no, we're good. We're riding with you. Even though we know your limitations, and ultimately when we play a good team, we're not going to be able to score enough points, we are going to ride with you because you are steady enough.
Yeah. Well, Alabama and Clemson both figured out that you can win in today's game with big-time receivers and big-time quarterbacks.
And to Fromm's defense, they didn't have the big-time receivers last year. They had lost a lot of their receivers, and we talked about that leading into the year. Like, that was a big concern for me when it came to Georgia. When you looked around, you're like, wait, everybody's gone except George Pickens. Like, he's a freshman. Like, what do we expect from him? They don't have any receivers. And, you know, it didn't matter for a lot of the games. Like, it didn't matter against Tennessee, but it mattered against LSU. I don't know if you remember the first quarter against LSU, Cody, but they had receivers running open in that first quarter, and Fromm was hitting them for the most part, and they were dropping the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I don't think they would be able to keep pace with.
No.
But if they get off and they score 14 points early.
Makes it a better game.
And then maybe that defense can turn loose on Burrow a little bit. Now, ultimately, they wouldn't have been able to stop Ja'Marr Chase. They wouldn't have been able to stop Joe Burrow. Like,
they probably would have lost, you know, 56 to 42 or something, maybe best case scenario. They wouldn't have been able to keep pace in a shootout.
And LSU's defense had improved enough. And, like, you know, the rest of the, you know, the people watching the games and the people talking about them were a little late to see the improvements from LSU's defense because, I mean, they did get better as the year went on. But, yeah, if Georgia completes some open passes, they maybe get out to an early start, you know, at home in Atlanta. Now, I know LSU fans traveled, but that could have been a lot better of a game is all I'm saying.
Could have been, but once it got out of hand, there was just no coming back, you know. And that's – you look at the last few national champions, I mean, that's how games are being won these days, big-time quarterbacks and big-time receivers. I mean, I still subscribe to the theory that you've got to have a defense to win a championship, but like you can't just have no defense out there. I think you got to have an SEC level defense and be able to get after the opposing quarterback.
Yeah, but I would say that if you would have 3 years ago or before last year or even the year before, if you'd have taken that LSU defense, I think a lot of people looked and said that's not a defense good enough to win the national championship.
Right, but
so the math's changing. The math's changing going in a little bit.
It's changing year by year, I think, to where like now the elites are recognizing it. Definitely Clemson, definitely Alabama, and LSU maybe more so of a, you know, a one-hit wonder last year. Mm-hmm. But first-round wide receivers and first-round quarterbacks will get you a long way, you know. And you accompany that with a really good D-line, you'll probably be a national championship contender. See, Oklahoma has had offensively, I think, close to what Clemson and Alabama have had, but they haven't had the defense to accompany it. I think that's where the difference is.
So is JT Daniels this guy? Could he be this guy at Georgia? Because, I mean, he was the number one player in the country, right? Was he not the number one player? He was the number one player overall, right? I know he's the number one quarterback. Was he the number one player overall a couple years ago? I mean, he is supposed to be a stud, and, I mean, he was pretty good at USC as a freshman.
If I'm a Georgia fan, I would feel much better about him than Jamie Newman.
He was the number one overall prospect in 2019, then reclassified to 2018 is what it was. So he was the number one prospect in one class. I mean, it does feel like the ceiling on a JT Daniels makes that is a lot higher than the ceiling on Jamie Newman, right?
I think so. I think so. I never understood the Jamie Newman hype. I don't understand why anybody thinks he's going to be special in any way.
So if he goes there and gets ruled eligible, which I think that's still up in the air, like whether or not he even gets eligible. I think it was thought that, like, hey, at one point they are going to just clear everyone. You know, that was what the NCAA was talking about, and they shelved that. They're saying we're not going to do it this year in terms of just giving everyone a stamp of approval. It's like we don't know if JT Daniels is going to get cleared. And even if he doesn't get cleared and has to sit a year, chances are you're most likely only going to have to see him for 1 year in 2021. Like, it's not like he's going to go there and be the quarterback of the future for Georgia, although I don't know if he has to be because Georgia's recruiting highly. You know, they recruit five-star quarterbacks all the time. Like, they don't necessarily have to have that. But just in this 1 year, JT Daniels gives them a completely different dynamic than they would have with only Jamie Newman, because Jamie Newman can't throw the ball. Despite like what everyone is trying to tell you hype-wise, I think you're going to see a lot of Georgia fans quit pretending otherwise if they can get in on JT Daniels, who they can see throw the ball down the field. They will quit pretending that Jamie Newman is that guy. But what does that do for your culture? Does that do anything? Does it even matter? Because Jamie Newman's not a bulldog. I mean, he has been the last couple months, but he's not like someone who has been ingrained in that program. But if you take him and you take his last year of eligibility and he assumes that, hey, I'm the starting quarterback at Georgia, and then before he even gets a chance to play, you're like, actually, we are bringing in JT Daniels instead. We didn't know this guy was going to become available. Does that do anything to Georgia's culture?
You mean as far as the current players on the team or like other players that were thinking about going to Georgia looking at that and seeing what they did to him?
All of the above. Recruits, everybody. Like, I mean, like that, I would feel like that would be kind of a strike against Kirby Smart nationally to some people, while others would just say, look, you got to do what the best. He could look and say, look, we got to do what the best. We got to do the best thing possible for our team at all points.
Yeah, you got to try to win.
But if you're a recruit and you are Tennessee and you're recruiting against Georgia, you could easily say, look, I mean, they're making recruiting promises to you. What makes you think they won't just do the same thing to you and put somebody over the top of you? What they're telling you, they won't throw you to the side the first opportunity they get.
Well, I mean, you could kind of say the same thing about us.
How so?
Throwing Garantano aside, I mean.
We haven't thrown Garantano aside. He's our starting quarterback.
But we are definitely open to the idea of it, I think. I think our coaches are open to the idea of changing out quarterbacks.
I mean, that's fine, but they didn't recruit Jarrett Garantano. Like, they didn't make any promises to Jarrett Garantano. And by year five, you have, do you think that Jarrett Garantano's got an unfair shake?
No, but I'm saying that you could spin that around and say it the same way about what Tennessee would do with their quarterbacks. I mean, because we've got Harrison Bailey, but that doesn't mean we're not going to bring in other good quarterbacks.
I mean, yeah, that's fun, but I mean, I don't feel like it's the same thing because Jamie Newman has 1 year of eligibility left, whereas JG's had 4 years of trying to lock down the spot. So, like, I feel like a fifth year senior. I mean, what promises did you make him? I mean, like, what promises did you make Garantano that you would be breaking here?
Maybe not necessarily with Garantano. I just mean the openness to changing out quarterbacks. Like, I think Harrison Bailey. Use Harrison Bailey as the example then. If you make him your starter, but then suddenly you got somebody new, somebody better, somebody good, like the quarterback commit we got.
Salter.
You know, and then, you know, maybe we had promised Harrison Bailey that, you know, you're our guy of the future, and then all of a sudden we got another guy coming in. Hey, he's just better. He's going to give us a better chance to win. I mean, that's just.
Well, I mean, Harrison Bailey's going to have the first shot. I mean, he's going to have the first shot of, this year.
Jamie Newman will still have a shot, right?
And what Salter's been told is that, hey, like, we are going to let you compete for the job. I don't think those are the same things as taking a grad transfer in his last year that could have went somewhere and been the starting quarterback, telling him he's going to be the starter at Georgia.
What about when we brought in what's his name?
Keller Crist?
Stanford guy.
Keller Crist?
Yeah.
I don't know. Keller Crist was a backup, so like I don't feel like it was – I mean, like Keller Crist, did Tennessee tell him, hey, you can come be the starter? Because they didn't make him the starter right away, so I don't
– I mean, either way,
I feel like he was constantly looked at as depth, right? Like,
yeah, but a lot of people thought he – people were so against Garantano, they thought he was going to be the guy.
I know, but Chris had lost his job at Stanford. Like, he wasn't the same in the same boat as Jamie Newman, who starting quarterback at Wake Forest.
Yeah. Well, maybe, I mean, JT Daniels lost his job to Keaton Slovis. Maybe they're just bringing him in as their Keller Christ.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe they think Jamie Newman's better.
Tearing your knee up and losing it for injury is a little bit different.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with a little competition. Either way, you tell the guys either way, hey, come in, you compete for the job. You know?
Okay. Hour one of the books, hour two on deck. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.